Welcome to Jesus Lovers Club, the podcast, the place to know Jesus and to make him known in this generation. This is the community that you've been searching for. We will dive deep into all the things and seek the real deal in such a counterfeit culture. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Leah Rich. Now, let's get into the episode. Hey guys, and welcome to episode 2 of Jesus Lovers Club, the podcast. I am so happy to be back with you guys this week. If you watched last week for the first episode, welcome back. And if you're new here, my name is Leah Rich, and I'm going to be your host. So I'm really excited about today's podcast, which is probably from the description or from the title, you're probably like, what does this mean? Audience of one, what does that have to do with anything? What does that mean, Leah? And I'm going to be really, really honest and transparent with you for a minute. Whenever I was praying about this, of what I should talk about, and God kind of gave me this suggestion, I was asking him the same questions, like, God, what does this mean? What am I supposed to talk about? How do we relate this to our lives? And so I'm here to give you all that good information and break it down a little bit, because it really is powerful when I thought about what that actually means in our lives and how Jesus so well incorporated that into his walk on this earth, and how God just makes that so evident in our lives every single day. And so, audience of one, first of all, we just came out of the Easter season. I think I just combined those two words, Easter. Okay. Anyways, we came out of the Easter season, so we have the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, and we have those three dark days in between. But when we just think back to that time and we think about him sacrificing his life for our sins, he didn't just do it for the masses, he did it for us individually. I have to think that when he was on that cross, that he had our names individually, specifically in mind, that he was thinking, wow, I would do this for Leah Rich. I would do this for, I'm going to insert Abby Joe in there. Thank you for commenting on our last video. Abby Joe, he would do it just for you. But here's the thing. Christianity could have never just been one person, because the one person would have been like, wow, this is so good. This Jesus thing is so good. I can't just keep it to myself. I have to tell everybody I know, because why would I want to keep the best thing I've ever experienced and ever held to myself, you know? And it would have never stayed. It may have started with one, but it would never would have ended with one, because God is too good that his power could not be contained, and he would have had all the recommendations, so it would have never stayed in one. But that's how we are. When we like something, when we like a movie, when we like a TV show, when we like a certain food or restaurant, we tell people that we know and that we like about it. Why? Because we want them to experience the same great thing that we got to experience. And that's how we should be with Jesus. That's how I'm hoping we're going to be with this podcast. But no, when Jesus is in the room, it is just good though. And I'm so thankful that Christianity has reached so many people. But we have to know that Jesus was so focused on the individual that I have to believe that he would have done it with the one in mind, and that he probably did do it with one individual at a time in mind. And so we talk about the crucifixion. If you've ever watched Passion of the Christ, I honestly have not, because we watched it at church. I'm not good with blood. I'm not good with stuff like that. And watching my Savior be brutally punished on my account would probably tear me to pieces. And some people that I've talked to that have watched it have told me that I cannot watch it again, because it just tore me up that much. And I'm like, I can only imagine. And so if we really can comprehend what Jesus did for us, it's like, wow, that was for me. That was for me. I was that one. I was that audience of one being like, Jesus, what you're doing here is going to change my eternity. It's going to change my life for the better. But you went through all of that just for me. And sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend or to understand, because we don't feel like we're worthy of it. But he loves us that much. Jesus is that crazy about you. He adores you that much. He loves you insanely much, an insane amount. he knows your name. Insert your name here. He knows your favorite color. Insert your favorite color here. He knows your favorite food and everything that there is to know about you that may seem so small and silly and like it doesn't matter. But Jesus says, hey, it matters, because if it matters to you, it matters to me. And I think that is just like such a comforting and amazing thing to know that somebody loves you so much that they're going to remember the little details about you just because they prioritize and they care about you that much. They want to see you succeed, and they're going to go after and find you and love you and not just judge you like the world often does, but just offer a genuine form of love, which is absolutely what Jesus is and absolutely displayed in everything that he did for us. And then after the crucifixion, we have those 3 days he was in the tomb. And I always love those videos that we hear that's, but Sunday is coming. And Sunday did come, just like they prophesied. And Jesus was not held by the tomb. He could not be contained by death. He rose again, and now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. But that also means something incredible for us. It was an incredible witnessing tool. It was an incredible sight to see, I'm sure, at the time. But now, how incredible is that for us, that he didn't just die the death he was supposed to die, but he also raised to life like he was supposed to. And it just completed all the prophecies. And that was the completion of just sanctifying and cleansing us from all of our insufficiencies. And so Jesus is good. I don't have to tell you all that. You probably already know, but here's your reminder. Jesus is good, and he loves you, and he cares about every single part of your life. So let him in every single part of your life so he can do something so transformative and so amazing in every single detail. But then when we go back to this audience of one, let's dig a little bit deeper into what that means. Obviously, the most important of all is that Jesus died and he lived, he rose for the audience of one, knowing that it wouldn't end there, but that's where it started. And then it comes on down to us, an audience of one. Anything we do, once we give our life to Christ, anything he's calling us to, when we have the mentality of an audience of one, it is so freeing. Why? Because we know that anything that we do, it's not our responsibility to make it work. It's not our responsibility to make it grow. We can put in the hard work and all the effort that we want, but we know when God has put his hand on something and he has ordained something, that nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. But we know that when we try and we try and we try and things don't work, maybe that means, is God calling you to do that thing? Or are you relying on your own strength? Or are you doing it because you want to? When we learn to just be discerning in what God's calling us to do and what we do because we want to do, that a lot of the time clears up the thing of why it's working and why it's not. When God is in something, it works. Sometimes, I know I mentioned this in my book, some things we can try and we can try and we can try and they inevitably keep failing. And usually that's because God's hand is not on it or it's not in the right timing. But when God's hand is on something and when it is the right timing, it will not fail. Let me repeat, it will not fail. If God's hand is on it, it will not fail. And so it's just this audience of one, it applies to our lives and the way that we live and the way that we pursue. If we can do it with an audience of one in mind, thinking, hey, if God's calling me to this, if there's one person listening to this podcast, or if there's one person listening to anything that I have to say, God is so intentional to that one person that it might just transform a whole lot more than one person, right? Because it never ends there. Anything that God is in, it doesn't stop. It keeps going and multiplying. He is not the God of division or subtraction, but he is the God of addition and multiplication. So what he starts, he's not going to let just level out and end. No, he's going to keep on just elevating it and making it fruitful and abundant. And also, the audience of one mentality, Jesus was so intentional to meet people and just one-on-one. In the Bible, I just went through Matthew, and it was just amazing reading again all through the healings that he did. But it was so cool that even in a crowded place of thousands of people, that most of the time he wouldn't just heal them all at one time, right? He could have. But instead, he went to people individually and just changed the atmosphere one person at a time. Why? Because it means so much more when you are one-on-one, when you make it personal, when you make it relatable to their life, and you make it something that they're never going to forget. Like, Jesus took the time out of his day, he took the effort, and he cared enough about them. He wasn't just trying to make some fake form of love and make himself look good. No, he loved people that much that he was going to go the extra mile and meet them face to face with their problems and fix it and make their lives better. And I think that's why he was such an attraction, that people just were clinging around him because they had seen what he had done in other people's lives and they were like, I want that too. And he's like, hey, if I did it for them, I sure can do it for you. Do you have the faith? You're healed. A lot of the time it was just such simple things that he would say, but it was so powerful every single time. And that's how Jesus often works. But he did miracle after miracle because he loved people. And I know we talked a little bit about that in the last episode, but he really did just love people that much. And so he met people where they were at. So yeah, Jesus, he showed up. He met people personally, and it just impacted their life in a way that was just unexplainable. And so I think sometimes he calls us to do that same thing and to go in with the mentality that, hey, if God's calling me to do it, he's going to bless it. All I have to do is the thing that he's calling me to. And it takes off a lot of weight and responsibility of feeling like you have to make things work when you come with that mentality. And so there's a lot of stories in the Bible that we can read about when Jesus was just doing some incredible things, but he was going after the one. Okay, all of you YouTube users out there who are watching this video may have noticed that I went away for a second, I came back. Well, that is because these Tennessee bipolar weather really just messes me up in April. So, I had to go choke on a peppermint for a few minutes, and I am back and better than ever, don't worry. So, back to where we were, though. Jesus, he met people one-on-one. We should meet people one-on-one. But there's so many stories in the Bible that represent this perfectly, and one would be the parable of the lost sheep, which if you're reading the one is greater than 99, all you mathematicians out there are probably like, Leah, the math is not mathing, but don't worry, I will clear this up. Don't worry. But yeah, I'm just going to read over that real quick. So here we go. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And so we read this story, and if we just think kind of surface level, we're thinking, oh yeah, if we think of the analogy, when the shepherd finds the sheep, we're thinking, oh yeah, heaven rejoices when somebody gets saved. That's it. Nope. Nope. Let's go a little deeper and let's see, like, let's think about it. Obviously, God is the shepherd. We're the sheep. sometimes we wander aimlessly like sheep, and we get distracted and we fall in the same pit after we've already gotten out of it 15 times. Sometimes we are like sheep. But the shepherd was not mad. When he went and he found his sheep, he left 99 that were acting right and being fine, and he went after the one. And he comes back, and he's not mad. He's not judging it. He's not condemning it. He's rejoicing, and he's calling people up and telling them, "Hey, I found my lost sheep," and he's excited, and he's not mad at the sheep. And that's the thing about God. He is so excited for us to come back to him. The story of redemption is not a condemning process. It is a beautiful thing that God loves us enough to not leave us where he knows we are not where we should be, or not in a good place. He doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to come out and to come back to him. And that also leads up to another story, another parable. You can find it also in Luke, the parable of the lost son. And we're going to read that one as well. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when a son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And that is a lot like the story of the sheep too. Why? Because the father, he's not mad when the son comes home. He knows the son's messed up and he's done a lot of stuff he shouldn't. And he spent his wealth really irresponsibly. But the father is saying, "Hey, I care more about who you are, you're my son, than I care about what you did." And maybe God's saying the same thing to you today. I care more about who you are, my son or my daughter, than what you've done. And I want you to come back home. And so just hearing this invitation, it's amazing, because when we think the father should have been angry, he threw a party in celebration that the son was back home. And this is the same kind of love that Jesus shows us. It's like, we don't deserve that, not at all. But he loves us that much that's the way that he treats us, and that's the way that he presents us, and he comes running towards us when we've been away, and he's excited for us to be back home. And so God is not mad at you. He loves you, and he wants you to be in his presence and to desire to know him better. And so, of course, the parable of the lost sheep, that is where we get one is greater than 99. because the shepherd cared more about that one who had strayed than the 99 who were just fine. He wanted to go after that one. The one mattered that much to him that he was going to take time from his journey and venture to go find it and bring it back. And that's what he does for us too when we get on the wrong track or we are not really receptive to what God's wanting. He still wants us regardless. And another thing I find cool in this parable, specifically the one of the father and the son, is that the son was willing to admit that he had messed up and that he wanted to come back home, right? He was willing to be the servant, but he was going to come back home. But the thing is, the father wasn't going to let him come back and be a servant. The father said, no, you are my son. Come home. We're going to kill the best that we have. We're going to kill the fattened calf. That would be probably in comparison to, hey, I'm going to go get you a 5-tiered cake today. And that is saying a lot. That thing is probably very expensive. That thing is probably going to take a while to make. That thing is going to be hefty and it's going to be hard to get in the front door with 5 layers. But hey, you're worth it, right? And so that's what God does. He celebrates when we come home. And so it's just an incredible thought. But that is why one is greater than 99. And so I love this topic. I love this thought that it's all for the audience of one. When you make it about the individual, like Jesus makes it about the individual, that's where prosperity comes in. And I think God has been challenging me from like the beginning of this podcast. Hey, you don't feel like you have the time. Sometimes you don't feel like you have the talent. Sometimes you feel like you don't know what you're doing. But hey, if I'm leading you to do something and you do it, I'm going to bless it. And so it doesn't matter. Again, like I said, if there's 5 or 5 million, that when God calls me to do something, I'm going to do my best to be obedient. But I want this to be an audience of one podcast, no matter how much it grows. And by that, I mean, when you're with an audience of one, you get to engage. It's not just give, 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 take, take, take. It's give and take. You get to talk to each other. You get to engage with each other. You get feedback from each other. I want to hear what's on your heart. If you're struggling with something, I want to be there to help in any way that I can. My DMs are always open because this is a place for growth. It's a place for community. And you should never have to struggle by yourself. And sometimes we don't have support systems at home or in friendships. And so if you need that support, if you need some guidance, if you need some biblical just prayer or some information or you're curious about something or even you have some podcast recommendations, whatever it is you need, I hope you know that Jesus met with people one-on-one. And that's what I want this podcast to be too, is that it's personable and that you get something out of it and that you learn something and that God just really fills your cup through it. And so, again, guys, thank you for joining me for episode number 2. I hope if you haven't watched number 1 that you'll go back after you finish this one and find episode 1, The Fruit of Expectancy, and listen to that one. But again, go follow me on social media. Write a review for the podcast. That always helps tremendously. And just thank you guys so much. I'm just going to have all the links below, but thank you guys so much for being here, and I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait for the next episode. Bye.